Sometime soon, Hillary Clinton will declare whether or not she is running, as will a host of others. The campaigns will probably be dominated by personalities, opposition research, an endless series of debates, one gaffe or another, one catchy slogan or another, and virtually nothing of useful substance. It doesn't have to be that way. Serious analysis of what actually ails the country and a series of proposals on what to do about them could become the centerpiece of the campaign. But that will not happen of the candidate's own volition. They have certain talking points that they have been testing to yield the right results, and they hammer them home again and again. Ronald Reagan asserted, government is the problem. Barack Obama promised, change we can believe in. The only way to force candidates to seriously address the issues is to raise them over and over again and insist on detailed answers, not one-sentence sound bites. I would like to use these commentaries over the next 22 months to attempt to address issues that candidates should be addressing. These will mostly be economic issues behind the policy choices. In particular, I will be exploring ways to promote full employment, higher wages, appropriate regulation, environmental protection, and other goals that are not only important for the U.S. economy, but for the vast majority of the people. When candidates say specific things related to these issues, I will discuss them at length and attempt to analyze what the real implications are of the usually too short summary statements that emerge from the candidates. If listeners and readers find these discussions useful, I would urge them to try to get candidates to comment at length about the issues raised, write letters to newspapers, post tough questions for candidates on social media, demand answers in person at town meetings. Get your friends, coworkers, relatives, and participants in civic groups to do the same. Let me start with one example, and it's a useful one because it was prominent during the last election. In a number of states, referenda to raise the minimum wage were on the ballot, and they passed in every one. Other states had previously indexed their minimum wage to the cost of living, and a number of those increases are taking effect this year. Why does such a popular measure have no chance of passing the Republican-dominated Congress? Part of the answer is that too many members of the economics profession believe and argue that raising the minimum wage will increase unemployment among low-skilled workers. For decades now, there has been a large body of research on both minimum wage and living wage experiences in states and localities, and the vast majority of the findings are that these increases either do not increase unemployment at all, or the increase is so small as to be overwhelmed by the positive impact of the wage hike on the standard of living of the employed low-wage workers. Unfortunately, because of the ability to buy the largest megaphone, those research results have been successfully disparaged in the minds of too many members of the public. The result is that too many politicians can get away with arguments like the following. Raising the minimum wage sounds good, but in fact it will only help teenagers and other part-time workers who are not family breadwinners and will actually increase unemployment among the poor who need those jobs. According to detailed research, every part of that assertion is incorrect. But politicians know that most citizens will not take the trouble to look carefully and do their own investigating. I hope listeners who are interested will not be satisfied with mere assertions. For detailed evidence on the minimum wage, for example, check out the Economic Policy Institute website at www.epi.org.